Ooh, I'd like a clam bake this weekend. Clam bake? That sounds like a good time, actually. A little paella? Oh, yeah. Paella.
Christmas, man. Get a little creative. That's what we do in snowstorms here. I'm sick of cooking. I made a lot of soup. You know, lobster bisque would be good, but I need some fresh lobster from Maine where this moisture is coming from.
I've made a lot of soup. Listen to you, you Midwestern guy.
Hey, I've not made a casserole yet.
Wait, what are you, single under a swinging bulb? Anyways,
hey, my wife loves my soup.
Yeah, folks, here we come here for weather talk. Nope, soup recipes. Yeah, right, you know, talk of the town.
We could start something brand new. So instead of raining cats and dogs, it's snowing lobsters.
I wouldn't mind that at all.
Frog, I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, Steve.
You know, one of the things you could do is fly in some lobster from Maine via a drone. That would be something very good. Joining us on the program right now, because we do get him, we're up against a break, but Kenley Nebaker, of course, Train ND Northwest, works a lot up there in a lot of different programs, workforce development. How about snowplow drivers? You working on getting some snowplow drivers right now, Kenley?
Yeah, emergency training going on right now.
Beautiful. I'll
tell you. Honestly, the county and the city have to give all the credit in the world for their efforts to try and keep up with this. It's a bit of a losing battle right now, but a huge thanks to the city and county up here in the Williston and the whole Northwest region trying to keep up with this storm.
Even down here in Bismarck, in my neighborhood last night, we had a plow go through about 10:30. Cleaning things out and using the snow gates here in Bismarck, which they do as well. Those crews with a 3-day elongated storm like this really have been taxed. So all the plow drivers out there, people, tip your hat to them. They're working hard. They're running in a long week. Usually it's long days. This is a long week for them, and want to make sure that they stay safe. Of course, we heard yesterday about a snowplow that got hit down by Hettinger, North Dakota. So we don't need that. That's the side of this that gets dangerous. But Kenley, you've got a brand new position we're going to talk about. You're the chairman of a brand new board or brand new chairman of a board for something very important here in North Dakota. And we're going to come back to that when we come back from the break. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm your host, Steve Bach, along with Jason Spies on a Friday free-for-all, a flurry, flustery Friday free-for-all. Also, we're talking with Kenley Nebaker from Train ND, and he is the chairman of the board for something here in North Dakota that is very important. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270, brought to you by Dvorak Motors, where your family for a lifetime. Swing by Dvorak Motorsports. They probably have something that'll get you around in this. Also, Big Boy, just get in line at Moose Fast. And Hit Inc., independent signature, respect Hit Inc. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Talk of... Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm your host, Steve Bach, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. You can catch The Crude Life each and every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. Also, we've got Kenley Nebaker from us from Train ND Northwest, a big partnership with Williston State University up in Williston, and Train ND building workforce across the state of North Dakota. We talk to Kenley a lot about that. We talk to Joe Camisa, who's a city commissioner in Mandan, who is the Train ND Southwest regional guy, and building that workforce out in the western half of the state and what that means across the entire state of North Dakota. But one of the big pieces, and Kenley, you've kind of dipped your toe into this, is the UAS world. You've established a really good program up with Train ND up in Williston, and now you are the new chairman of the board for the North Dakota UAS Council. Congratulations on that. What does that mean for Train ND, for the very short time you've taken that program and advanced it to now where it's so recognized you're the chairman of the board for the North Dakota UAS Council?
Well, thank you for the congratulations. It really is a huge honor coming from my UAS peers as a relative neophyte, so to speak, in the UAS world, we've been able to make a little bit of a splash at Train ND, and I think we've gone about things right, and that's what it says. But ultimately, what's most important is what the UAS Council, the North Dakota UAS Council, means for the state of North Dakota, and providing unmanned automated systems a one voice and one place to go to move things forward here, to continue to move things forward here in the state of North Dakota. That we've got a great history of UAS movement. We want to continue to move that forward as a whole with one strong voice moving forward.
Kenley, in fact, this week on The Crude Life, we're going to be airing one of the interviews with Doug Goring we did probably back in 2016 in our decade of discussion, where we were talking about the row of sunflowers, the row of potatoes that a drone would fly over, you know, from a mile in the sky, or maybe 30,000 feet or maybe 30 feet, depends on, you know, what gets put in there. But it would be able to identify a specific pathogen or a potato blight or some kind of disease in real time. Then it would notify either a little four-wheeler drone or maybe a little small drone that can fly out there and perfume mist the plant. And back in 2016, 15, 17, some of the real-time sensors were going in the ground, of course, linking up all these different things. The last time you and I talked, it sounds like we got the network now being built to allow a lot of this precision agriculture, precision safety, precision energy. Give us a kind of an update as I hand the baton off to you based on that kind of that row of sunflower example.
Yeah. From the ag perspective alone, the future is very bright. We just at Train ND just received our new ag spraying drone that's used to aerial applicate pesticides, fungicides, whatever. Opened that up with some of the members from the North Dakota State University Extension Office, and to watch the excitement on their face and to see ideas pop into their minds of how we can use that and make use of it was really exciting. And we're really excited to partner with the Extension Office moving forward to help them with research, as well as to start showing the application of what this looks like. Jason, what you described, that day is here. That technology is here. We have the ability to do all of those things. North Dakota has done such a great job of investing in UAS infrastructure, UAS technology, and making it the place to be in the United States when it comes to UAS. And so those investments are just beginning to pay off, and will pay off huge dividends in the next decade and beyond. Really excited about it.
So Kenley, we've got about a minute or so. Tie that back into the program you've built at Train ND quickly.
So the program that we've built is really built to train pilots at this point in time, and then moving into sensor operation and applications, to take advantage of the Vantis network. The Vantis network being installed by North Dakota, to allow beyond visual line of sight flight. We specialize and are the only workforce training provider that provides beyond visual line of sight pilot training for workforce from a workforce training perspective. And we're excited to provide that workforce moving forward to allow the possibilities within UAS to expand and continue here in North Dakota.
When we come back from the break, we're talking with Kenley Nebaker and Jason Spees from The Crude Life. Kenley, of course, the new chairman of the board for the North Dakota UAS Council, and he is the Northwest Director for Train ND up in Williston. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk, finish up the agricultural side of things and that transition, what it means from agriculture to energy, and then talk a little bit more about the Vantis Network, explain what that is. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm your host, Steve Bakken, along with Jason Spees and Kenley Nebaker on Super Talk 1270.
KLXX AM, Mandan Bismarck, a Town Square Media station, broadcasting from the View Community Credit Union Studio. Sports for Bismarck Mandan, Super Talk 1270. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. Talk of the Town, brought to you by Dvorak Motors. We're your family for a lifetime. Big Boy, just get in line. It moves fast. Hit Inc., Independence, dignity, respect. Hit Inc.
You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. Good morning on a blustery, finally Friday. A little flurry Friday today, and we're talking with Kenley Nebaker from Train ND Northwest, also the new chairman of the board for the North Dakota UAS Council, and Jason Spees from The Crude Life. You can catch The Crude Life each and every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. Looking across the state of North Dakota right now, roads are blocked. No travel advised throughout the entire state. A bunch of secondary roads are starting to pop up as blocked and blown in. On top of the no travel advisory, I-94 between Dickinson and the Minnesota border is also shut down. Highway 52 north of Jamestown for quite a ways has been shut down. Some other roads around the area as well. So if you don't have to travel today, do not. And mostly it's not because nobody wants you going anywhere. It's just if you're stuck, then they can't get those roads open with the plows as they're trying to get out there and navigate the roadways themselves as things begin to calm down throughout the day. So hopefully, I'm not guaranteeing this, but I'm hoping I-94 is going to get opened by later today. Also, US 83 to just north of Underwood is also closed north of I-94, north of Bismarck and Mandan today as well. We're talking with Kenley Nebaker from Train ND. I wanted to have you just connect the dots a little bit because where UAS started with me, it was kind of on the agriculture side. And you were Jason was talking about the precision agriculture stuff. And Dr. Gunderson in Devil's Lake, I had met him at an ag show, and I was doing an energy program at the time. And him and I got talking about precision agriculture and what drones, UAS, was capable of. And I started equating that to the energy sector, what was going on out in the oil fields, whether it was line inspections, pipeline inspections, power line inspections, security. There were so many different applications, because what you have to remember, what people need to remember when it comes to a UAV or a drone, it's just a platform. It's just the platform. Beyond that, you can attach anything you want from a technical perspective, whether it's for agriculture, whether it's for energy, whether it's for delivering packages. That is the add-on piece. So it's the platform that UAS provides. That's where my start got, it started with the connection between the agriculture into the energy, but there really is no limitations on where UAS could go. You're up in Williston firsthand. You see the energy side of things right there. What was the impetus for the program at Train ND up in Williston? Was it the energy side, or was it the ag side, or a combination thereof, or what could become the future?
Yeah, it's really all of the above. As cheesy as it may sound, UAS are about, it's a quality of life issue, right? It's about making lives better at the end of the day. And whether that's within the ag sector, whether that's within the package delivery sector, whether that's within the energy sector, if it can be done faster, safer, more technologically advanced, than drones are really just, as you so well put, is the platform to make that happen. And so it's really exciting what can be done. The program up here was really started a lot about timing. When the Vantis network was announced that it was going to be first put in or tested out in the Williams and McKenzie County area, it just made sense to have a drone pilot program here that focused on allowing people to take advantage of that network. And so there's just so much possibility that can be done for good. Once again, cheesy as it sounds, but that can really affect quality of life throughout the state, throughout the nation, throughout the world, as we look at doing things more efficiently and safer and so on and so forth.
Two-part question for you, Kenley. Part one is just, briefly explain, who Vantis is, and just kind of, what that word means, if you will, because I think a lot of people are hearing it probably for the first time, especially across, the radio airwaves, that sort of thing, who aren't necessarily into the business-to-business world and that sort of thing. So just talk a little bit about, Vantis and the relationship, but also from a consumer standpoint, during the break, we talked about, when is Amazon or a small business going to deploy, you know, maybe bird seed or, you know, Domino's delivery or whatever it might be. But I'm even thinking about from a Tesla automated vehicle standpoint, because my understanding, some of these vehicles are using cameras and not drones and satellites or maybe a Vantis type of a network. So talk about the consumer application after the Vantis, just kind of who they are and et cetera, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so Vantis, the Vantis network is ultimately a beyond visual line of sight network that's being established in the state of North Dakota. If you want to think of it as highway in the sky, that will allow drones to go from border to border and border to border here in North Dakota, and eventually beyond as other states come on and purchase the Vantis network. But ultimately, what's contained within it is the ability to communicate with a UAS beyond visual line of sight. So the communication, the command and control of that unmanned vehicle, and then also the ability to see what's going on in the airspace around that unmanned vehicle. So there's really two parts of Vantis, both of which are very important in moving forward with using the airspace here in the United States, which is heavily governed by the FAA, in order to move forward with using that, we need to have some sort of a system. Vantis is North Dakota's effort to try and solve that problem and allow us to begin moving beyond visual line of sight. What that means from a customer standpoint is that absolutely anything is possible once we hurdle these FAA hurdles that we currently have. When we talk about package delivery, we just had a study done out here in Williston to look at what does package delivery look like. And for Williston to become a bit of a hub, that study came back and said, absolutely, that's a great possibility. The big holdup is the FAA, right? And so we're looking at that, but we have multiple companies coming into North Dakota and looking at North Dakota moving forward for package delivery, for all of those things that will be a quality of life issue moving forward.
So when you're looking at that quality of life piece, explain a little bit, because I think people are limited a little bit on what the capacity is. And we talk with to Marlo Anderson on Tuesdays about this all the time. It's when you're thinking about quality of life and where technology can play into people's lives, there really are no limitations of where we are today to where we can be in the future. Explain a little bit better to try to explain that that methodology, that there are no limitations. It's kind of let your imagination fly because it's possible.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Every time that I talk to a group of young people about UAS and inform them of the Vantis network and what's really available to them here in North Dakota, which so many people are blown away that here in North Dakota, this is available to them. Every time I talk to someone, they're like, well, could we do this? Or could we do that? Or could we do this? And the answer is always yes. Start a company. My goodness, what a great idea. There is literally no limitation. The only limitation at this point in time is the FAA. The possibilities for, package delivery. Who doesn't want a coffee or pizza delivered to their doorstep, for heaven's sakes, by a drone? Who doesn't want to not have to go into their pharmacy or the hospital to get a test done, instead having that test delivered and then picked up from their home via drone? Who doesn't want things to be done more efficiently, packages to be delivered more efficiently, all with less of an environmental impact? I mean, there's just so many things. Let's look at the energy sector. Who doesn't want to pull pilots, these pilots that are having to fly low and dangerously as they inspect pipelines, out of the air, and let's do that unmanned, and oh, by the way, create more jobs while we're doing it. There's just so many possibilities, that the only limitation is really the what the FAA allows at this point in time. And I'm very confident that within the next year to two, we will see major changes that will allow people to just allow the sector to completely explode.
We're talking with Kenley Nebaker and Jason Spies. Kenley, of course, Train ND Northwest up in Williston. And Jason with The Crude Life. You can catch him Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. This hour of the program brought to you by Big Boy. Just get in line. It moves fast. Hit Inc. Independence, dignity, respect. Hit Inc. And Dvorak Motors. Keeping Christ in Christmas where your family for a lifetime. And Dvorak Motorsports, of course, where if you want to get around today, it might not be a bad idea to give them a call and see what they got. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Talk of the Town. Super Talk 1270. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. This hour of the program brought to you by Hit Inc. Independent dignity, respect Hit Inc. Big Boy, just get in line and moves fast. And Dvorak Motors, where you're family for a lifetime. I'm Steve Bakken along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. Catch Jason Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. And Kenley Nebaker, chairman of the board for the North Dakota UAS Council, also with Train ND up in the Northwest region. He is the director for the Northwest region for Train ND here in North Dakota. We're talking UAS and what it means to North Dakota. Kenley, before the break, you mentioned the FAA, and that's a place that we've got some constraints. You said a year or two out. What does that look like right now? Because I know that's been one of the uphill battles with UAS and full development, especially on the visual line of sight things, with getting FAA approval, because they've held that space very close to the vest when it comes to the interaction between UAS and commercial aviation, private aviation, aircraft in general. What does that look like from being able to realize a full future for UAS when you have the constraints from the FAA that's trying to manage what that looks like from not only a competition perspective, but a sharing of airspace competition?
Stifling at times for sure. I think even the FAA knows that. One of the great quotes from an FAA director that I heard in a meeting that I was in with the FAA was that the FAA recognizes that they have a 10% technology problem and a 90% change management problem when it comes to integrating UAS into the national airspace. They know that it's coming. They know that it needs to be dealt with. The real challenge is that the FAA has done such an amazing job with what they are mainly tasked with, which is keeping the national airspace safe, really since the Wright brothers, the motivation is to, and focus is to keep that airspace safe.
But one of the pieces of that, though, is when you're talking government agencies, and yes, they do a good job of keeping that airspace safe, but it can be stifling from an alphabet agency coming out of the federal government that they tend to be a little slow to respond, which when you're talking about UAS and the innovation, the technology that is advancing at such a rapid pace, I have a hard time seeing federal agencies keeping up with that pace.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible for them to keep up with it. I think it's possible for private industry, for government officials, and for luckily us here in North Dakota, for the Northern Plains UAS test site, to push and to help them find their way. What I sense from the FAA in the meetings that I've been is that they want this to happen, but they want it to happen safely. And so they're really looking for partners like the Northern Plains UAS test site, like the Vantis Network here in North Dakota, to help them figure out how do we make this happen and allow this to move forward. And just in the last 6 months, we've seen major movements forward in that integration of UAS into the national airspace. And I think we will continue to see that happen on an exponential standpoint. Is it a little slow? Yes, it's a lot slower than I'd want it to be and that a lot of people would want it to be. But I do believe that it will move forward and we will get where we need to be soon.
So, Kenley, if you're somebody, say, you know, looking for another opportunity, whether it be from an entrepreneurial standpoint or just, you know, hey, new place to work. This sounds like a fun industry to be, you know, be part of a team on. What is the next step for someone? Because a lot of what I'm hearing from an entrepreneur standpoint is a lot like what the oil and gas industry is going through right now with the word uncertainty, and it has to do with just the FAA trying to be safe. But at the same time, you know, there are companies moving ahead and et cetera. So walk us through that a little bit. What should somebody do if they're listening and they want to get involved from an entrepreneur standpoint, or, hey, I want to go work for Vantus. That sounds fun.
Yeah, I mean, reaching out to the Northern Plains UAS test site, reaching out to us at Train Indy Northwest to talk about training opportunities and those things to help you get informed and help you get the licensures that you need. Being able to reach out to even UND and some of the other colleges and universities within the university system here in North Dakota. We have such a great ecosystem for educating people about UAS. There's no shortage of people that you can talk to and reach out and find out what you need to know and what you need to have in order to legally fly UAS and perform missions. There are missions going on constantly here in the United States with UAS. You may not realize it, but they are happening. And that's going to become more commonplace. It is truly, in my opinion, one of the greatest places that an entrepreneur or a person starting out could start a career.
And Steve, let me just jump in real quick before I know that you're ready to get another question in. But the reason that it is one of the best places is because there's a lot of history with the UAS industry in the state, including, Steve, are you ready for this? A national federal cattle international cattle rustling UAS lawsuit that was, I think, back in like 2007-08 or something like that, where they had to use some drone satellite imagery in order to settle some northern North Dakota cattle rustling dispute. So I don't know if you know anything about that, Kenley, or not, but that actually is UAS related. I laugh because it's not too often you get a cattle rustling story that pops up in the news, you know?
I'm not aware of that story, but my gosh, another use case of UAS settling cattle rustling disputes. What a great idea.
Well, one of the things I'm thinking too right now is you take a look at this time of the year and porch pirates. So how do you protect against, you know, right now across the country, a lot of people are dressing up as delivery drivers and instead of delivering packages, taking packages. Genius. Big story across. Okay, if packages are going to be delivered by UAS, then I can see some unscrupulous people that are porch pirating packages with UAS. How do you guard against some of the nefarious things that UAS could be? Because if there's something that's good, somebody out there with the non-meritorious background is going to try to figure out a way to maybe use UAS or UAV for unreputable things.
Yeah, I think that.
What are the security protocols?
Yeah, I think we see that in no matter what we do. There's counter. I mean, when we talk about military type stuff, there's counter drone technology and all of that stuff. But when we move into someone just using it for those types of burglary or whatever, really we're in the same place that we are for the person picking up the porch, right? Is we want to find some way to catch them and to keep an eye on them, you know, just as the movement of the doorbell camera has changed that to some aspect. You know, the FAA's requirement that all drones flying in the national airspace have a remote identifier, to where if you're flying in that area, then we will be able to, or we as a the proverbial we, the nation, will be able to know that you're flying in that spot and we'll be able to come back to that identification of that drone. So there are protocols that are being worked on to be put into place to help with those things. Are they fully fleshed out yet? No. But it's, in my mind, it's no different than a person going up and picking it up off the step, right? I do think the delivery aspect is a unique one, because I think that's going to start off with it being delivered to a central location and you having a code to get into that box to get it yourself, to try and help alleviate these issues.
So you mentioned training a couple times, and, you know, what comes to my mind right away is 5-6 years ago, I mean, you pretty much needed a commercial pilot's license to do any sort of drone flying at all. Where are we at today with, if somebody wanted to either go work for a company that is already doing drones or they wanted to get into it, do you still have to get like a commercial pilot's license, or is there other levels now?
Yeah, there's still a few companies that want to brag and say that they have, that they require a private pilot's license. One of the main impetuses of my work with UAS training has been to lower the barrier of entry. If you want to talk about a barrier of entry into UAS, require a pilot's license, for heaven's sakes. It's not necessary. The FAA coming out with Part 107 to allow someone to have a remote pilot's license really drops at the cost of that barrier of entry. Still, with our training, we keep a very high quality and expectation for professional remote pilots. But that need for a private pilot's license is going away. And you know, like I said, there's still some companies that want to say that they require that. But you come in, you get training, you get yourself your Part 107 and get some good hands-on training, and you're in good shape to get yourself a job.
Kenley Nebaker with TrainND Northwest here in North Dakota, also the chairman of the board for the North Dakota UAS Council. And Kenley, I'm going to add this yes or no question for you very quickly. So Marlo Anderson and I got in this discussion, and I'm saying UAS has been around for a long time because I considered that RC helicopter that I got back in 1974 for a Christmas present as that was a drone. That was a UAS. It was configured as a helicopter, but that was UAS, correct? It could be actually a lot of different platforms.
The simple answer there is yes and no. So,
all right, fine. I'll leave that with Marlo then too. As far as people wanting to find out more information from this, Jason, I know where you're going. No. as far as people finding out more information with this, how do they contact you? Find out about the programs. Find out about TrainND and what they have to offer, or contact the board for North Dakota UAS Council.
Well, best place is to reach out to me at this point in time. The UAS Council has a website, so you can look up the North Dakota UAS Council on the web, also on LinkedIn and all over socials. But to reach out to me directly, I'll get you in contact with anybody we need to. Best way to get a hold of me is to just call my TrainND phone number, which is 701-713-3780.
And one more thing too, and I was thinking about this during the last break, from a educational perspective, where things have gone. Because I remember when UAS, other than my RC helicopter, started taking off. And this is about 8-9 years ago. And I was actually driving through Colorado at the time, listening to a newscast. And they were talking about a small community in Colorado that had a bounty on drones. If a resident shot one down and brought it in, the city was going to give them a bounty because people were concerned about private security and trespassing and landowner rights. We've come a long way since that. But how much of that goes into educating the public on what UAS, UAV can do for them?
I think that's our number one challenge, is educating the public as to what they can do and what they won't do. Right. And, if we have probably our first and biggest challenge in large scale adoption of UAS is educating the public.
Perfect. Kenley, thanks for joining us. Jason, once again, what's coming up on the Crewed Life this weekend?
We've got a little bit of precision energy talk with drones, and we also have an update from the Federal Reserve out of Dallas and an update from Kansas. Warren Martin gives us a boots on the ground update from the spill that happened there this week. And guess what? The locals, they're only concerned about energy prices at this point, Steve. They know the professionals have taken care of the spill. So it's going to be an awesome show with a lot of current events, but we also look back.
The Crewed Life coming up on Sunday morning. Gentlemen, thank you very much. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. You can catch the Crewed Life Sunday mornings right here at 10 a.m. on Super Talk 1270. This hour, the program brought to you by Dvorak Motors, also Big Boy, and of course, our friends over at Hit Inc. When we come back, we're going to talk with Lieutenant Derek Arndt from North Dakota Highway Patrol, find out the latest on road conditions and what things are looking like. It's not pretty out there. It just isn't. And we're going to check in with the National Weather Service coming up before the top of the hour. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Talk home for high school sports. Super Talk 1270. Listen to the games anywhere with the free Super Talk 1270 app. Download today in the App Store or Google Play.